Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. It's lovely to see you all here, and welcome today. Friends, we've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise him and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. Today we're continuing in the book of Ruth. It's the last session. And as you'll remember, Trevor has been teaching us four important aspects across this series, and they're all going to come together today in the finale. So we'll hear about God's faithfulness despite how we, our people, act in the situations we find ourselves in, the way that God is always working his purposes out for our good, and how in welcoming the outsider, we're providing for them and keeping God's law, and in all things to be grateful and thankful, to not underestimate the goodness of God. So we'll look forward to hearing that from Trevor later this morning. Now, if you're observant, you'll see Trevor's not actually in the building. Unfortunately, he's had to be called to something unexpected this morning. And so he and Rosemary aren't actually with us. But he's recorded the sermon, and so we'll be playing that. So if you can all imagine what he would look like as he's preaching, you can do that. So I'm going to open today now in a word of prayer, so please pray with me. God, our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you. And whatever we do, in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. So the current protocol for us as a church is that we're still not going to be singing this week. I think we haven't quite adapted to the new protocols yet. So feel free to hum along, and perhaps if you want to stand, why don't we stand and hum along while we sing to How Great Thou Art. Please stand.
Consider all
that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. We're going to hear God's word read to us now, and Brian's going to do that in a moment. Let me pray for us as he comes up. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Brian.
Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go to a wedding today after all. We've been waiting for this event. And as I read through it, we'll get to it. Might be a bit of a letdown. But the wedding that we're going to be going to ultimately, and the invitation at Jesus, the wedding supper of the Lamb, well, that's going to be the really, really great one. Anyway... So we're looking at Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, and it's the complete chapter. And so we begin at verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so, But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am the next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in the order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among the family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring of the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar brought to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. There's the wedding. Beautiful story, though. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Welcome to church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. For those of you who are listening in over the internet, welcome to Abbotsford Anglican. For those of you who are gathered here this morning, welcome. Rosemary and I apologise for not being able to be with you this morning. A circumstance has arisen where we can't be with you. But we come to the end of our Bible teaching through the little Old Testament book of Ruth. It's a book that reminds us of the faithfulness of God despite we, his people, and the situations we find ourselves in. It's a book that reminds us that God is always working his purposes out for our good. It's a book that reminds us to welcome and provide for the outsider, one who is seeking to come under the wings of God, and in so doing, keep God's law. And it's a book that reminds us to be thankful. Thankful and grateful to God for all his provisions, not underestimating his goodness towards us. David's going to flick through the slides for us as we go through the Bible teaching this morning. Thank you, David. Firstly, just where are we up to? Well, the book of Ruth stands in between the time of the judges and the times of the kings. The judges was a time when God's people did what was right in their own eyes, in a way thinking that they had no king, but God was their king. And the books of Kings, where God raised up a man, men after his own heart, to lead them as God would want them to be led. But in the midst of this, we have a family, individuals, who choose to live differently to how God's people were living in the Judges. People, three people, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, who seek to live life God's way, who seek to recognize the faithfulness of God, that he's always working his purposes out for our good, welcoming the provider and providing for the outsider, and being thankful and grateful for God's goodness towards them. Having agreed to follow Naomi's plan, in faith, we pick up the story at the end of chapter 3. Ruth has proposed to Boaz during the night on the threshing floor at the feet of Boaz. Spread the corner of your garment over me, for you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Indeed, Naomi and Ruth were hoping Boaz would come to their aid, provide for them, and produce for them a son who would carry on the family name of Elimelech and Mahlon, their dead husbands. Boaz has praised Ruth for her faithfulness and kindness to Naomi and her faith in God. But he's told her there's another closer relative that must first have the opportunity to do so. If he refuses, Boaz has agreed to do so. And as proof of his willingness to them, he forwards for more food to Naomi, that she might know that she has not been left empty-handed, as she once thought. Ruth has now returned home. They must now wait to see what happens. God has provided up to now. Will he continue to do so? It's the next day, and Boaz has gone to the city gate to meet the closer relative. Thanks, David. Next slide. Verses 1 to 4. Heading, Duty and Decency Performed. Next slide. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." We don't know from the text here how Boaz got to know about this land, but we can assume that that early morning Boaz has met with Naomi, and this has come up in their discussion. And what Boaz is going to this next of kin and asking him to do, or to reminding him what he should be doing, is to not only purchase the land, but also be the willing to be the guardian redeemer, or kinsman redeemer, but also the leveret, the one who would then produce an offering through the owner of the land, the inheritor of the land, that that person would inherit the land and keep it all in the family. And so what does this next of kin decide to do, and why does he do this? He says, thanks, David, click it for us. Great. I will redeem it, he said. Now, this tells us something about the man, this closer kinsman redeemer. You see, I take it, even though we're not told here, but I take it that he's thinking, it's Naomi's land. She's still alive. She's without bearing, able to bear children anymore. There's no likely to be an inheritor. If that's the case, I get the land and it stays in my family. It might seem a little bit pulling straws, but he's willing to do this for the fact knowing it's Naomi's land. But next slide. Thanks, David. Verses 5 to 6. Read the small print. Boaz says, thanks, David. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Now he realizes that the property is Ruth's property and Naomi's property, and that Ruth is very likely, being a young lady, a young woman still of childbearing age, is able to produce an heir, and that that heir would inherit the land, keep it in his family. Now that's the right thing. And you think that this kinsman redeemer would step up and go, yep, okay, thanks for reminding us, Boaz, I'll do the right thing. But what does he say? At this the guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it. Says something about this kinsman redeemer, I believe. It's here in the story so as to contrast us with the generosity, the sacrificial giving of himself, of Boaz, to highlight what a good man, on behalf of giving of himself for Ruth and Naomi, and ultimately in service to God and doing the right thing. This man, his kinsman redeemer here, is nothing of that sort. Thanks, David. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the mentioned method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Thanks, David. Verses 9 to 11. Redemption accomplished. We mustn't forget in this lovely little story of how two people come together and God provides, is that it is a book about redemption, about saving, a book about how God wants to keep in his family, bring into his family, keep in his family, his people, and provide and protect for them at his expense. Verses 9 to 11, redemption accomplished. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, yay, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. And it moved them, thanks David, next slide, verses 11 and 12, to the men to pray. How did they pray? What did they pray? They praised God for the faithfulness of Boaz and that God would be faithful to him and Ruth. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. We can't help but hear these men moved by the Spirit of God, thinking of God's big purpose and how he has been faithful in providing for his people up to these days in the presence and will into the future. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez and Tamar, born to Judah. Can you see the picture unfolding? Next slide, David. Thank you. Verse 13. God answers their prayer. God provides in the immediate there. Next slide. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Verses 14 to 16. Next slide, David. The heading, the women praise. They praise God and they praise Ruth. And they remind Naomi of God's goodness to her. And she realizes this now, Naomi. The penny's dropped as she is no longer empty, but filled. Next slide. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth. It's interesting here, we think here at this point that what's actually happening at this point is it's talking about Boaz, but it's not talking about Boaz, it's talking about the child that has been born here. And we're getting this little drift into the future of thinking, well, what's God going to do through this child? Next slide. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. Next slide, verse 17. The reason for the story. Next slide. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of King David. Hang on a tick. Can you see what's unfolding here? King David? Who was the offspring of King David? Next, thanks, David. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew 1, verse 1. The Christ, the Messiah, the guardian redeemer, the redeemer of all God's people, was to be a descendant through this child, Obed, through this faithful couple, Boaz and Ruth. A greater redemption is here in this story being unfolded. Even before people knew of it, they knew of it to come. The Son of Man did not come to be served, Mark 10, verse 45, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them in Christ. Luke 1, verse 68. In Galatians, Paul writes, verse chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who was hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Next slide. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake, through whom you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Next slide, David. Thank you. The book of Ruth is a book about the faithfulness of God, despite we, his people, and the situations we find ourselves in. God is always working his purposes out for our good, welcoming and providing for the outsider, and in so doing, keep God's law. We ought to be thankful and grateful, not underestimating the goodness of God. This little story of Ruth is a book that reminds us that God provides for his people. He is a God who has redeemed his people in Christ. It points to Jesus. It reminds us as Christians that our God has redeemed us and has saved us. And it was costly, but it was at his expense and his joy and his choice that he chose to do that for us. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, creator and sustainer of your world, you hold all that you have made within your gracious providence. We thank you for the rich freedom you have given us in Christ. Help us in all things to see your hand and to live as those whose lives are entrusted to your sovereign care. As Ruth from Moab became one of your people, so you called us by name and invited us to come home with you. We are glad to find shelter under the refuge of your wings. In Jesus Christ, our guardian redeemer, you saw our need and met it. We thank you for your costly, self-giving, redeeming love, setting us free to share the life of your family. You have taken our fears, our bitterness, our sin to yourself in him. Forgive our sins and teach us to forgive others. Grant that when, like Naomi, we walk through the valley of tears, bring us to our senses, that we may not lose sight of your goodness, hope, and joy. Through your Holy Spirit, the giver of life, you lead us into truth. You enrich the guidance of your law through the warmth of your generous love. As Boaz went beyond the call of duty in gracious provision for another's need, how much is your grace far more abundant than we can ask or think. Teach us to be grateful and likewise generous, alert to the needs of others, that in our power to do so, each may have their daily bread for their daily need. God, the Holy Trinity, you are the God of history, whose purposes span the centuries and always prevail for your glory and our good. We give you thanks and praise. To you be glory forever and ever, our guardian redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a wonderful way to finish that story, isn't it? So I'm just thinking, maybe if you'd like to turn to somebody beside you, and maybe there's a way, you know, Trevor was emphasising there for us how God has looked after us with the unexpected and undeserved goodness of his son dying for us. The story of Ruth also shows us that God acts in smaller ways in our lives as well. So maybe you'd like to turn to someone nearby you and just share a quick story of some way that God has unexpectedly been good to you in your life. So if you just want to have a moment and do that. If you can draw your little conversation to a close. I hope I gave you all enough time to be able to have that little conversation. It seemed like there were some nice discussions going on, so I hope you were enjoying sharing that with each other. We're going to sing again, or I'm going to sing again, I guess. Sorry. You can hum. Maybe this one do it seated. But with that sense of thankfulness, it's nice to be able to have a song that reflects that. So I'll sing that now and hum along. So we're going to pray now in a time of confession. God calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." But we fail to honour him as we should and to respond to his love for us. Recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let us confess our sins together with the words on the screen. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's helpful for us to encourage each other with statements of what we believe. So let's stand together and join in the words of the creed. So together. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Tina's going to lead us in a time of prayer, so if you'd like to sit down.
Accept our prayers. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come before our wondrous God and our wonderful Saviour sitting on the throne, we are so blessed. We are so fortunate. O gracious Heavenly Father, you have a heart so deep in love for mankind, for each one of us, that you gave your only Son. It's an immense cost, an immense sacrifice. And Jesus was obedient and loving, going to the cross for mankind. Thank you for your faithfulness to mankind. And because of your great love, we can come to you with our concerns. We can come before the throne in prayer because of your grace and your compassion. For your word tells us to come about anything and everything. And we can thank you that you are the God of all hope. When we think things are hopeless. So we come to you, Lord, with heavy hearts for our world. We ask that leaders and nations throughout the world, no matter how small the kingdom, do not seek to dominate, but rather seek justice, wisdom, and peace. Resolutions to bring about unity and harmony. And especially at this time, we think of Myanmar. There's Russia with these undercurrents, the African nations, and the Americas, who are still reeling from things that have recently happened in politics. We also bring before you Australia, because, Lord, there is a lot of disruption, a lot of anxiety amongst politicians, a lot of debate. So these two are fractionalised. So, Lord, we know the world needs you, and we need you to help us. Please, help all the nations, O God, in your infinite wisdom and mercy. We bring before you the church worldwide. May your church be true to you, trusting in your word, the Bible. May they continually look to the Bible as the authority for truth and faith. Let your spirit refresh all who teach and preach and follow Jesus to bear witness to Christ, so that you may be glorified with ignited people in the love of Christ. Lord, we know that there are many untruths going around the world. A lot of ministers have not conformed to your word. A lot of ministers don't preach your truth. They take what they want and throw away the rest. Please, O Lord, have mercy on your church. May your spirit ignite the leaders to preach the truth. May they be humbled and passionate about you, Jesus, your word, and allow the Spirit to work in their lives. Help us as all Christians throughout the world to stand firm. And we especially bring before you our brothers and sisters who suffer because of their faith. We know, Lord, that we can expect persecution. If they persecuted Christ, why wouldn't they persecute us? Help us throughout the world, your people, and particularly the persecuted in countries where it's very violent, it's very out there, it's not subtle, it's in your face. We here suffer nothing compared to them. But we know we cannot be too comfortable, O God, because it will come to us if we do not stand up for you. Help those who are persecuted to remain true to you. May the persecutors in all these nations, 50 or so, throughout the world, all over the world, scattered, may the persecutors be transformed into followers of Christ, and there would be no victory for their purpose, but your victory would reign amongst your people. And we put this in your hands, O God, for we trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, for the world, we thank you, Lord, that there are people who have compassion, who seek to do good, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you that there are people who trust in you. We thank you for the healthcare workers amongst COVID, for the researchers, for the vaccination for COVID, and we all those authorities working consistently during this pandemic. We trust that they will rely on your wisdom, that people would be cooperative, not resisting the help that's being offered amongst the vaccinations, but really consider what is good for the people around them, their families and themselves. We thank you, Lord, that we have here in Australia have had such help. We've had leaders who've been consistent. We've had leaders and premiers and parliament, O Lord, who seek to bring and care for their people. Lord, we just thank you and we just trust that we here in Australia will do the right and good thing for each other. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. For our country's leader here in Australia, O Lord, it's such a difficult role. There's always disruption. There's always animosity. We thank you that there are leaders amongst us in this land who are your followers. This is an especially difficult time. It's hard because they will not see eye to eye with others around them. We pray that you would give them wisdom, guidance, strength, and firmness in their faith. Help them to trust in you and walk with you each day of their life. Pray that champions in the cause of Christian truth in Australia will reign. We have several people seeking to bring the truth to the nation. We pray for protection of good, godly leaders. And we just pray that your truth will still reign even in Parliament. We pray that you, O Lord, will raise up leaders in all walks of life to stand alongside you with courage and confidence in you and for your word. Please bless and guide them and bring people to know Jesus through our leaders. Give them also understanding. May your word not be thwarted in this land, because this is so important. Otherwise our land will just disrupt into evil. Help the leaders to be sensible, just and self-controlled, that our country will be a country of truth, courage, humility, gentleness, and that we in Australia would care for the most vulnerable. This is what we need for our land, O God, and we put our trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. We come here to our area here and our state. We thank you, Lord, that Scripture is still allowed to be taught in schools around us. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege here in Abbotsford, at Abbotsford and Russell Lee schools, that your word can be still taught. We just pray that you would continue to allow this to happen so that little ones and young ones may hear your word and be captured in their heart, your truths. Oh Lord, we thank you for Trevor and Fiona. Give them the wisdom, the perseverance, and the encouragement as well, O God, as they seek to serve you in this way. We thank you, O Lord, that Anglicare has school chaplains, and we just pray for all school chaplains, Lord, particularly our Christian ones. We just pray that, Lord, their truth may be heard, their gentleness seen, their love for you seen. It will touch people's hearts and lives, so that will draw them closer to you, give them the strength and wisdom and guidance they need. As we've heard this morning, O Lord, you are a God of provision. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are our hope, our shield. Help us to rejoice, O Lord. Thank you that the word is taught faithfully here in our church at St. Andrew's. We praise and thank you for what we've heard and learnt through this series of Ruth. Help us to remember you are the God of provision. You are the God who is in our presence every day, that you are our protector. We thank you for Karen and Trevor, and ask you to uphold them in their work. We thank you for the parish council, and we also too ask for provision and uphold them in your strength and wisdom, O God. Sustain us all, especially for those who are suffering, who are in difficulties. And especially this morning, whatever the situation we have with Trevor and Rosemary, uphold them, O God. Let your presence be felt with them. May they be aware of your love, your guidance, and your spirit of strength. Thank you, O God, for our leaders here at St. Andrew's. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, O Lord, that you always take care of us. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Thanks, Tina. A couple of announcements to draw your attention to. Most of these are in the news and notes that gets emailed around. If you don't have that, it's also on the website you can get to. So first one is that our prayer meeting is tomorrow night here in the church foyer at 7 o'clock, a lovely time to get together and pray as a body for the work of the church and the world in our community. So it'd be lovely to see you here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Following on the theme of prayer, the World Day of Prayer is being celebrated this coming Friday. And so again, there's an event associated with that, and the details are in the news and notes. There's a parenting course coming up. Oh, sorry, there's the World Day of Prayer. I was going to say, I thought I had a slide on that one. So the World Day of Prayer is actually particularly praying this year for Vanuatu, and it's on 10 o'clock in the morning at the Abbotsford Presbyterian Church. So very nearby if you want to be able to join for that. There's a parenting course coming up, being run by Mother's Union, so Karen's organising that. It's across four Tuesday evenings in March, starting on the 9th of March. So if you'd like to join for that, please let Karen know, and she can help make that happen for you. Parish Council has been talking about all the different COVID protocols, so I'm sure we'll figure ourselves out with masks and singing very quickly. And one of the areas that we're looking to bring back into our practice is actually morning tea. So watch this space. We're going to try and sort that out in the next few weeks and start doing that again. So let's see if we can do that safely and respectfully for each other as well. Importantly, something Anglican churches do is have an annual general meeting, and our annual general meeting is going to be held on the 14th of March, so in 2 weeks' time after the service. So as a parish, that's when we look at how the parish has gone through the last year, getting reports from the ministry team and the wardens, look at the financial position of the parish, and then look at putting in place the wardens and parish council for the coming year. So that's in 2 weeks' time after the service. And then just in, and today was meant to be the Lord's Supper. So with the change of arrangements for Trevor, that's been deferred, and so will be next week. And if you want to read ahead, you can read ahead. You'll have guessed we've run out of Ruth now. And so if you want to read ahead, the next series that Trevor will be starting is on 2 Peter. So another short book that we can easily get on top of in our own readings. So I'm going to sing again. Maybe, do you want to stand this time and hum along? So what if we stand and hum along and I'll sing? A nice way to finish our service today in glory of our Redeemer. So let's stand and do this together. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry, Brian's just reminding me. There was one other thing I had to do. I didn't jot it down. With Trevor not being available today, Bible study this afternoon, which would normally be at 4:45, is not on this week. Thank you, Brian. Well done. This life I live is not my own, for my Redeemer. Oh. Please stay standing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honour, power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you, lovely to see you all here today. Have a wonderful week ahead.